Thank you, Abram, for sharing this morning. I was just blessed with that. Just thinking about that woman with the issue of blood and how she had to push through the throng of people in order to get to Jesus, the desperation that would have been in her to come to Jesus to be healed. I guess just thinking about that, maybe we have that same desperation to come to Jesus, to be healed of all our sin, of all our infirmities, of everything that does hinder us from coming to God in His fullness. Also appreciate the bringing out as far as the love that Jesus had for mankind with the woman that had the issue of his blood. He had such a great love for her that he stopped in the midst of what he was doing and cared enough for her to acknowledge that a virtue had gone out of him to heal her. And also appreciate the worship this morning with the reminder that though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. So praise God for that. This morning I want to talk about, I want to look at John 15. And with that, just as we read through that, I just want to keep that in front of us, the love that Jesus has for us as he wants to prune us from anything that hinders us from that relationship with Jesus Christ. My thoughts went to this verse with we have a couple of fruit trees, and it's the time of year when the fruit trees get trimmed, get pruned, and I'm usually amazed on how much they cut away from that fruit tree. I mean, it's almost like there's more on the ground after he's finished cutting away than what's still in the tree. And it's just like, in some ways, it doesn't make sense to the natural because, I mean, those branches are needed. I mean, those branches brought forth fruit last year, but now he's cutting them all away except for some of the main ones. But he does that so it can bring forth more fruit. And so John 15, verses 1 through 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. So Jesus Christ is the true vine. He is the one that we can be attached to as his branches, and his Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, so it can bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. So he's making it very clear that we cannot bear fruit unless we abide in the vine, unless we abide in Jesus Christ. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and it withers. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So we look at verses 1 through 8. It talks about abiding and being connected to the vine so we can bear much fruit. And if we're not connected, we cannot bear fruit. It's like a branch that's not connected to the vine can't bear fruit as well. So I just brought some So I just brought a piece of my peach tree, and just want to look at that a little bit this morning. So it's interesting when I look at also. So I just want to look at this a little bit this morning in reference to our own personal lives and allowing God to cut away those branches that are not connected or don't bring forth the fruit that that He desires to bring forth in us. And a couple of things I just had to think about this morning was, obviously we know that sin needs to be cut off and thrown out, right? So we look at we'll cut away some of these branches and just look at maybe sin referring to adultery, fornication, uncleanness, idolatry, bitterness, maybe focusing on ourselves, maybe cut away ourselves. Then so we just keep cutting away at those things and we cast them from us because they're not needful for us for our Christian walk, and they need, and maybe just allow God to just continue to prune those areas of our lives and just cut them away. And even if you look at a peach tree, I'm usually amazed at on how much they cut away, but they cut out from the center to allow the sun to shine in to the center so that the fruit in the middle also gets the sunlight. And as I was thinking of that, God also desires to cut away those areas in our lives that are hindering us from walking in the fullness. And He desires to cut those away so that the light of Jesus Christ can shine in and have free course within our hearts, within our lives, so that there's no hindrance for the gospel to go forth, but rather that we are walking in God's lightness, in God's fullness, in everything that He has. Then obviously there's also some areas that He cuts away that last year brought forth fruit. So, we look at some of those areas and some of those branches, and it's just like why cut that one off? I mean, last year there were some peaches on that branch, and it and those peaches were good. But each year He cuts those branches away so that it can bring forth more fruit. And then also we look at as the fruit is budding and there's fruit growing on the vines, we'll look at these tiny buds as like fruit growing. Then you also thin them out, because if you just let all the fruit on the tree, it'll just be small fruit, and it won't come to the fullness that God wants for us. So maybe there are some areas of our lives that we look at and it's just like, that's a good area of my life. Others are able to do it, and in others it bears forth fruit. But for us, it may not be such. God is desiring to take those out so that we can bring forth more, better, and bigger fruit for His honor, for His glory. When you look at Galatians 5, verse 17, or verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, and heresies, envying, murder, drunkenness, reviling, and such like, and which I tell you before, and which I told you in times past, that they that wish that do those things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So we look at those obvious sins that God is calling out and saying that if we continue in those things, we shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So it's very important as we look at those that we make sure that none of those things are in our lives, and if there is, that we cut it out as we cut these branches here. We just cut it off and it cast it from us, that it no longer is a part of our lives, but that we can walk in freedom. Just like says the song that we sang this morning, though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be as crimson, like bright red or whatever it is, they shall be as white as snow. Then we also as I was thinking about the branches, so it's very important for us to be connected to the vine in order to bring forth fruit. I mean, we look at this branch here. I mean, it looks okay, right? But it's not connected to the vine. It's not connected. And therefore, it will not produce fruit. I mean, the only thing that's left for it is to shrivel and die, because it's not connected to the vine. It's not connected to Jesus Christ in our lives. And I also want to look at some of the fruit also written up in Galatians 5, 22 to 23. We look at love, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Again, they're in Galatians 5:23. And you may say, well, that's the fruit of the Spirit. But it's like A.W. Tozer puts it this way, is, well, it is the Holy Ghost that is the liquid or the juice that flows out of Jesus Christ through his branches and out to produce the fruit of the world to see and smell and taste and touch and love and appreciate. So it's all connected into one. The Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, and the Father, those three are the same in one. So the fruit of Jesus Christ is also the fruit of the Spirit. And we look at love instead of hate, joy instead of gloom, peace instead of fear and anxiety, long-suffering instead of impatience, gentleness instead of violence and harshness, goodness instead of selfishness and sin, faith instead of doubt and unbelief, meekness instead of arrogance and self-assertiveness. What a difference between the two as we look at those things. Then we'll read the rest of the chapter in our verses 9 through 17. So John 15, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abode in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever ye command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. So we see that there is a command that Jesus Christ has given us, and that is to love one another as Christ has loved us. Spurgeon puts it this way: Beloved, you do not, dare not, could not doubt the love of the Father to his Son. It is one of those unquestionable truths about which you have never dreamed of holding an argument. Our Lord would have us place his love to us in the same category with the Father's love to himself. We are to be as confident of the one as the other. So we are to be as confident as we know that God and the Son's love for each other, we know that is, according to the Word, it is real. It is very close. So the same confidence that we have of God's love for his Son, the same confidence are we to have for the love that Christ has for us. The Father loved the Son with a love that had no beginning, that had no end, that was close and personal, that without measure, that is unchanging. So that great love that he had for us, that you love one another as I have loved you. And we'll also look at 1 Corinthians 13, which we all know that is the love chapter. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gifts of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. So we can do all kinds of good things, or even all kinds of wonderful things. I mean, he's saying we can have faith that even to move mountains and have not love, it is nothing. Love suffers long, is kind. Love envies not. Love wounds not itself, is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not our own, is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, adoreth all things. Love never faileth, for whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child. I thought as a child, and when I became a man, I put away childish things. But now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. Now by this faith, hope, love, but these three, but the greatest of these is love. Just looking at a couple of those things as the fruit of the Spirit, or the fruits that God is desiring for us. Then joy. John 15:11, which we had read that. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full. That the joy that is in Christ might be in us. Then Nehemiah 8:10, a sentence or point in there, it says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So the joy of the Lord is my strength. Then we'll look at Isaiah 26. 1-4. Looking at peace. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates that the righteous nation which keep the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he hath trusted in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. As we are connected, as we are abiding in the vine, as we are connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, he will keep us in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Let me look at John 15, 16. Again, it just expresses the love that God has for us. Because ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Which I thought was interesting, that God has chosen us, or God has chosen his disciples. It's interesting that back in the time of Jesus, there were many scholars that sought out rabbis to attach them to and to learn from them and to be like them. But the scholars sought out the rabbis. But for Jesus, it was different. Jesus sought out his disciples and said, come, follow me. It was a difference. I mean, he was the one that initiated it. The disciples did not initiate following Jesus Christ, but Jesus did. So, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit shall remain, that whatsoever ye ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. Then we also have the account in Luke 15, 4-6, how he forsook the 99 sheep and sought for the one that was lost. Again, just expressing the love that Jesus had for his sheep, for his people, to seek them out that are lost. We look at, as we read throughout the Bible, there are many illustrations of people that have gone before us that were connected to the vine, that were connected to Jesus Christ. Which Hebrews chapter 11, which we look at that as the faith chapter. But throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, there were many people that through faith walked through and believed. The disciples responded to Jesus when he said, come, follow me, and they were connected to the vine. And we see the story of Peter stepping out of the boat and walking on water because he was connected and he put his trust in Jesus Christ. We look at that situation, and I know there's many that look at the fact that he sunk because he saw the waves. But what about the fact that he actually walked on the water? That's probably not anybody here that has done that, right? That you have stepped out in the middle of the sea and walked on the water. So what about us? Now it's our time to respond or live out the gospel and to be connected to the vine. For there's no other way to live but to be connected to Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by Him, John 14:6. Then Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:8. Abide in Him, receiving the lifeblood, not abiding we can do nothing unless we are connected to the vine. It is like a branch that is not connected to the vine and is dead, or it is like a branch that's physically connected but is not no longer receiving the sap or the lifeblood, and therefore it is dying even though it's still connected. We have a maple tree at home that even though all the branches are still connected to the main trunk, but one by one, the branches are dying. They're not receiving the sap, or they're not receiving the nutrition that the roots are bringing up to it. So again, the love that Jesus Christ had for us. It's just written over and over in John 15. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lays down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, but a servant knoweth what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Then also in abiding, Psalms 91:1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Again, he that abideth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The fear of the Lord tendeth to light, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Then 1 John 2:24-28. Let that therein abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning, if that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you, concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing that ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. Even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him in his coming. For we know that he is righteous. We know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. So there's also an aspect of abiding in him, because when he is coming, that we will not be ashamed of him at his coming. Then I want to close with Revelation 19. just as an illustration for us to prepare ourselves and to be ready, as it instructs us here. Verse 6, "And I heard it as it was the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God on a pernus reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints." So this morning, are we willing to allow God to prune those areas of our lives that are not helpful, or those areas of our lives that are sinful, or maybe not bringing forth the most fruit, but allowing God to take those areas away so that we can be like it says here at Revelation 19:7. "For the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready." So we have made ourselves ready. We have allowed God, in his great love that he has for us, we have allowed him to put his finger on those areas of our lives that are not sanctified, that are not holy, that are not pure, and allowed him to put his finger on that and allowed him to take it out and cast it away from him as a dead branch, or away from us as a dead branch, so that we can walk in victory, we can walk in the anointing that God has for us. So God bless you.